Chapter 3. Prophetic Past, Prophetic Future. In many religions, the life history of a founding figure is often incorporated into scripture. The Gospels, for example, provide an account not only of Jesus' teaching, but also of his life. This is not the case in the Quran, which includes very few explicit references to Muhammad's life. Instead, the Quran, understood to be God's word, addresses Muhammad both directly and indirectly. With this and the historical and social context in which the Quran was revealed, we are still able to learn much from the Quran about the Prophet's life. In particular, we can witness his interaction with the believing and disbelieving communities of his time, the various obstacles he faced while preaching, and even how he felt during his mission. However, most of what we know about Muhammad's role as a prophet is presented in the Quran through the accounts of the prophets of the past. The Muslim vision of Muhammad's prophethood is entwined with the lives and proclamations of the prophets of old, and vice versa. Before we can appreciate this relationship, we must first understand why, according to the Quran, God sends prophets in the first place. And perhaps more importantly, what does God want to communicate? The Quranic Worldview. In both the Bible and the Quran, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and all that exists within and between these realms. As the opening chapter of the Quran tells us, God is the Lord of the worlds, Surah 1, verse 2, and as such is sovereign of all creation. For Jews, Christians, and Muslims, God created the world for humans. We learn this in the Bible and the Quran through the story of Adam and his wife Eve, who is unnamed in the Quran. Adam and Eve enjoy the beauties and wonders of a paradise created for them, the Garden of Eden, until they are tempted by promises of wisdom and honour from a sentient being, the serpent in the account in Genesis, and a creature named Iblis in the Quran. For choosing to promote themselves and following their desires, rather than obeying God, Adam and Eve are expelled from the garden. In the Quran, God provides Adam and his descendants an opportunity to re-enter paradise, the garden, after being tested during a mortal life. Unlike Christian theology, Islamic thought does not consider Adam's sin to be passed on through the generations to every human, but instead, every individual is given the opportunity to submit to God. This sense of personal, moral, and ethical responsibility in Islam can be seen in two key terms. The first is taklif, a word that describes the moral responsibility humans have for their own actions. And the second is taqwa, meaning God consciousness, which conveys the idea of humans being aware of God and what God wants from humanity. Combined, these concepts encourage individuals to respond to their moral obligations and to the message of God. As we will see, these two ideas are particularly important in the context of Muhammad's preaching to the early Meccans, whom he often accuses of acting in self-interest and dismissing the existence and judgment of God. In the Quran, Adam is described as a khalifa, meaning a vice-regent, but on his relationship and interactions between Noah and his people. In this surah, we can see how people react to Noah, his message, and the choice that he gives them. One of the most striking parts of the Quranic account of Noah's preaching is his frustration with his own people. In exasperation, Noah says to God, "My Lord, I call on my people night and day, but my call only makes them flee further away." Surah 71, verse 5. And he turns to his people and says, "Why are you not in awe of God's majesty, though he created you at every stage? Do you not see how God created seven heavens, piled one upon the other, setting the moon among them as an illumination and the sun a glowing lamp?" Surah 71, verses 13 to 16. For Noah, God's existence is a clear and certain reality, and the signs of God in the natural world are further proof of this, yet his people still refuse to believe. From the accounts of Muhammad's own life, He was similarly frustrated with the people of Mecca. In Noah's despair about his people's ways, we can also hear Muhammad's frustration with his own. The sin that the people of Noah are committing, the sin of shirk, is not revealed until near the end of the surah, when the people say to each other, "Do not abandon your gods. Do not abandon Wad, nor Suwar, Yaghuth, Ya'uq, nor Nasr." Surah 71, verse 23. Here we see Noah's people freely choosing, indeed encouraging each other, to reject the words of Noah. It would not have been hard for the Meccans, who worship their own gods, to hear the message of Surah Nur being directed at them, and there is no doubt that they similarly encouraged their peers not to abandon their gods. In this respect, we see how Noah's message in Surah Nur sought to highlight the importance of personal moral responsibility among his community, which is entwined with knowing and being aware of God's presence. Revealing God's signs. Recognizing God's presence in the world is encapsulated in the principle of taqwa, God consciousness. In the way the Quran presents God, humans, and the world, the guidance that the Quran and God's prophets bring is a sign of God's mercy. This is reflected in the Arabic word ayya, meaning sign, which is used to denote a verse in the Quran, alluding to the fact that each ayah of the Quran is a sign of God's guidance and mercy in and of itself. More widely, the signs of God, the ayat Allah, also refer to the proofs of God's presence in the created world. An important part of a prophet's role is often to point to these ayat Allah in order to show people God's sovereignty and command over the world, and to inspire a consciousness of God, which ultimately leads individuals to the divine path. In this sense, the idea of knowing God is important. If God is to judge humanity in a fair and equitable manner, then humans need to be aware of God's guidance, which is revealed to humanity through the prophets and in the Quran. This is what Muhammad did throughout his prophethood in Arabia, which is made clear in Surah Ar-Ra'd, when God instructs the prophet, "Say, God is the creator of all things. He is one, overpowering." Surah 13, verse 16. The next verse goes on to discuss God's sending down of water from the skies, which brings much-needed nourishment for the plants and for human life. In fact, the name of the surah takes its title from the evocative imagery of thunder, Ar-Ra'd, and lightning as a sign of God's destructive and awe-inspiring power. "He it is who shows you the lightning, causing both fear and expectation." Surah 13, verse 12. Here, lightning is a sign of God's ability to cause destruction, but also of God's mercy which can shower human life with hope and sustenance. A prophet's call for people to change their lives coincides with the way they point to these signs of God. While Muhammad's call for individuals to change is rooted in the accountability of their actions, it is the signs of God that establish why individuals should believe the divine message he is preaching. By pointing to the signs of God in creation, Muhammad, like the other prophets before him, is able to confirm the reality of the message that he is delivering and encourage individuals to contemplate their relationship with God. Throughout his prophetic mission, Muhammad spoke of the proofs of God's existence in the natural world and the way in which his community should respond to God in the hope of forming a close and purposeful relationship with their Creator. Inspired by the Prophet's message, Islamic thinkers and mystics would later attempt to articulate their own relationship with the divine. A famous example is the early Sufi saint Rabia al-Adawiyya, who died in 801, who expressed her nuanced understanding of worshipping God in relation to the reward and punishment in the hereafter. She says, "O Lord, if I worship you out of fear of hell, burn me in hell. If I worship you in the hope of paradise, forbid it to me. And if I worship you for your own sake, do not deprive me of your eternal beauty. Rabia's words echo the emotions of fear and hope that we saw in Surat al-Ra'd. She captures the importance of developing an intimate relationship with God that is not rooted in fear of punishment or desire for the luxury of heaven, but rather in awe of and for the sake of God. For Muslims, Muhammad remains the seal of the prophets, sent by God to guide people to the divine path. Like all prophets, Muhammad could not force people to believe in God, nor could he make people abandon their gods. But Muhammad could present the reality of God's existence and what was expected of them. Encouraging people to reflect on the presence of God and their individual and collective responsibilities were pivotal elements to his role as a prophet and a messenger, and continue to define who he is to Muslims throughout the world today.